Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Online Radio Network. Restoring vitality to you, my voice, and the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton. And joining us, as usual, is the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Oh, I don't sound anywhere near as sexy as you, I tell you.
It's nothing like getting a coal to drop from a tenor to a baritone. Give that sexy, growly voice. My girlfriend loves it. She won't kiss me because she doesn't want to get sick.
But she likes the way you sound, yes?
And she likes the way I talk, yeah.
Yeah,
so, I let some stress in my life get the better of me, and I was having a very stressful time. And at the same time, what I noticed when I was doing that was I was not taking my Exela. I was not having magnesium baths. I was not resting properly. I was not eating properly. In fact, I was. You know, having a donut and Big Macs. I mean, it just went swung way over to the side. And then really, really bad cold, coughing, feeling miserable, everything else. Here we are.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and the cool thing about it was I was watching myself do it, knowing that, you know what, this is not me getting a cold because I caught something. This was me actually sabotaging my health for a short period of time.
Yes. Yes, two things come to me as sort of how it echoes in my mind. And one is, you know, the depth of the well or depth of the reserves. You know, I'm thinking the metaphor that seems most appropriate for me is the bank account.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you can make deposits or you can make withdrawals. And I suppose we could make it deeper. You could make deposits of good things and deposits of illusions or deposits of bad things that turn out to be empty in the end. But still, you know, it's a very different kind of lifestyle when you're running your daily groceries out of $25 or $25,000,
mm-hmm.
right? Like if there's $25,000 in your checking balance, you just don't bother to worry about whether you can afford this dish or that dish or this bottle or that whatever, right?
That's right.
Whereas when you're right at, you know, having to count the pennies, you actually are very judicious about what you do, or else you crash, right? And that's what that reminds me of is that some people are born with a very strong constitution, and others not so. But, you know, 100 years ago, most people were born with strong constitution, and the ones that didn't have a strong constitution didn't make it past their fifth birthday. And now most people are saved, most people grow up. Yeah, I certainly myself have been born with a fairly weak constitution. And so I've never had the luxury of being able to abuse it. You know, I couldn't go out on a drinking binge with my friends where we would go stay up every night of the week for 3 weeks straight, you know, or something like that.
Right.
Not a chance, you know. I could go out once a week, maybe twice. I remember at some period I was at the university, and what a beautiful life that was. We would go out 3 times a week, and I lasted exactly 2 months.
That was it.
Yeah, collapsed. Totally. Exhausted, liver overload, just couldn't do it. So anyway, what I'm getting at is that the depth of your well, you know, you have been filling it with garbage. You have been drawing water out of it. The well became shallow, and look what happened, right?
Yep, exactly. That's exactly right. And it's a great lesson, and it's a great... I mean, for me, I find it really empowering, right? It's like, because I'm thinking, you know, well, one of my friends said, well, this, you know, this just shows, Scott, that, you know, people talk about, you know, how'd you get to cold? Oh, I went to the school play and all the kids were sick and I caught it. And they say, well, yeah, okay, you caught it, but how come your wife that was with you didn't catch it?
Right. Yeah, I know. The flu epidemic, out of the 30 people in the class, 9 is sick, 21 is still coming to school. We call it a flu epidemic. Really?
Yeah. You know, why didn't the rest of them get it? Oh, well, right. they weren't burning the bridge, the candle at both ends, and they weren't filling their body full of food that was bad for them, and they weren't stressed out on stuff. And so to me, it's like, wow, like, I have control. Whether I take control is another question.
Right. Yeah. You can choose to be dysfunctional.
Which is what I did.
Yes.
I absolutely 100% knowingly chose to be dysfunctional because I was under a lot of stress and I didn't. I felt that was the.
Here goes another example that our childhood programming drives us so strongly. You know, this is the subconscious driving. I'm no exception to this. You know, I have my triggers and I want to just lay down with a book in face of trouble. And I want to stuff my face full of sweet things because I respond to sweet things more than anything.
Yeah, me too.
And probably goes back to when you were a 3-year-old and Auntie Martha gave you a lollipop or Mommy made you a really particularly scrumptious cake for your birthday or something like that.
Right.
I don't know what it was, but somehow, somewhere, maybe there's more reasons for it, but the triggers are that when we're in stress, we tend to abandon all of the conscious stuff that we have built, all the shoulds and have-tos and I know betters and all of those, and instead we just go straight for these childhood infantile self-destructive behaviors.
And merrily along our way until all of a sudden we can't get out of bed.
Okay, well, there we go. So that's a wonderful lesson. We have demonstrated it yet again. Thank you for volunteering for it and for providing such ample evidence. Scotty has a baritone.
That's right. And actually, as we were kind of talking about this, you reminded me of a conversation I had with a friend of mine, and I don't have any way of evaluating whether his level of knowledge is excellent or poor. He's someone I just recently met and talked to, and as we were discussing different things, he made a statement which made me sort of sit up and go, huh. And so, and I thought, well, the good thing about doing this show with you is when I have those types of questions, I can ask you and get your opinion on it.
All right.
So what he said to me was, and he didn't say it, I mean, he said it in a very nice way, right? So I'm not necessarily going to say it in the same nice way that he said it. So don't take what I say as how he communicated it to me, all right? But basically what he said is, Scott, he says, if you take vitamin D, like 5,000 IUs a day and 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day, you'll never get sick. And
okay, so he made a sort of an absolute sounding statement, yeah?
Very much an absolute sounding statement, right? And maybe that's true for me, and if I do that, I'll never get sick. I don't know, right? After my experience this week, I find that hard to believe, except that probably what I would do is not take the vitamin D and C for a couple of weeks or whatever until I had emptied my vitamins out and then get sick. But anyway, but I just thought it was really an interesting statement because how do you evaluate it? Like,
okay, so let's start from the beginning. So where did he get that information that has him so convinced that he's able and willing to make an absolute statement?
I have no idea.
Right? So somewhere he ran into somebody that must have been an authority to him.
Yeah.
That made him certain. And then maybe he even verified it on himself, right? I mean, there are two kinds of people. One is externally referencing, and the other one is internally referencing.
Right.
And externally referencing people will always ask, well, what do you think? How do I look? And, you know, it's more common with girls, but it's still common with men, too, is that they will seek approval elsewhere.
Yeah, that happens a lot to all of us. I mean, we're always looking.
Well, we're social creatures.
We are social creatures.
But, you know, the opposite of that is internally referencing person, somebody who knows what's right and doesn't need someone else to confirm it. And to give you an example, you know, I want my attorney to be an internally referencing person, somebody who's not easily swayed by an external opinion. Or I want my law enforcer to be internally referencing. I want someone to be quite sure about the morality and the values without having to check.
Yeah, could you imagine?
Right. But on the other hand,
pulls you over and says, you were going 80 and a 50. I'm like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, no, never mind that. I would turn to my co-pilot and says, Todd, there was no way. You saw that. It was 70, not 80. And the poor creature would have to say, okay, there's two of you over me, then okay, I guess you're right.
Right.
But the opposite, or no, a good example of that would be, you know, leaders. Leadership needs to have conviction inside to know that something is right and be able to be able to assume the leadership position, the role, and say, you know what? I don't care that you're telling me that the Earth is the center of the universe. I am certain that it's actually revolving around the sun and not the other way around.
Exactly.
And of course, there could be this mistaken authority, which is that often leads to these examples that the emperor has no clothes, right? People.
Well, it happens all the time, particularly with you know, medical doctors, right? They'll,
we
pick on them all the time. Why not today, too, right?
Okay, let's do it.
You know, it's like, hey, I go in, I've got a problem. They say, oh, here, take this, it'll fix it.
Yeah, and the only authority has it from is this info sheet that was handed to him by the sales rep for the pharmaceutical company that came through his office 2 weeks ago.
Right, but as an internally referencing person, he's like absolutely, completely convinced this is right, and never bothers to check.
Yes. So, let's go back to the vitamin C. If your friend was lucky enough to take the form of vitamin C that's correct for his metabolic type, he'd have a success. Remember how we talked a few episodes ago that for one body type, you need to take ascorbic acid, for the other type, the ascorbate. Calcium ascorbate or something else ascorbate. And if you screw it up, you're actually making it worse. You're doing yourself harm. Similarly, I know of vitamin D. Some people have taken 50,000 units, which is a high dose, and ended up in all kinds of trouble with it. So,
you know, actually, so that was what was bothering me on a subconscious level, is what you said right then about the different metabolic type and which type of vitamin C is good for which, because when the first thing that went through my mind, kind of, you know, and I didn't really catch it at the time, was, well, is that organic vitamin C, or is it like, you know,
oranges,
or is it powder, or is it a tablet, or is it chewable, or is it
which brand,
you know, that I had all these questions, like vitamin, because I know vitamin C is not vitamin C. And it kind of stuck with me, right? I thought, And then the vitamin D, I'd never really heard of. I'm assuming 5,000 sounds like a big number, so I'm assuming that's a lot of vitamin D. And yet where I am living, I don't get as much sun as because it's raining all the time as maybe I should. So maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. I was just kind of like, huh, because he was very internally referenced. Right?
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
No doubt about it in his mind.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, oftentimes you probably run into that same thing where you'll be talking to someone, they'll decide they want to try a product, and then once they get it, all of a sudden there's different people giving them different opinions, and those people may or may not have any clue about what it is that the person's trying.
Doubts, uncertainty, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, the classic trio of manipulation. I have this still in my memory. This goes back at least a couple of years. A woman called me in tears, in pain, listed all of the symptoms of fibromyalgia, has chronic fatigue, has all of this, you know.
Wow.
Send them things. I knew it exactly. From a disadvantaged place, you know, she did not have a lot of money. I said to her, look, the products are what they are. If you can do it, you need to set aside a couple $100 a month for the first 3 or 4, and it'll drop to about $150 after that, and maybe $100 on maintenance for a few more, and then 12 months you'll be in a very different place than what you are today. She had lived with this for maybe 15 years, becoming progressively more and more miserable, to the point of no longer being able to work or care for the household or whatever. I mean, she's just reduced to maybe 2 hours of active time a day. Anyway, so I said to her all of this, and I, you know, recommended it, and I outlined it and wrote to her about it and sent it in writing, sent it in whatever. So she went ahead and bought stuff. But within 2 weeks, she was calling me in tears because sister, brother, somebody near her is telling her, oh, you have fallen in for this internet charlatan. It's not going to do any damn thing for you. It's just, you're just wasting money. Look, you've already spent 15 years wasting money. This is just another wasted bunch of money. Nothing's going to come of it. And I told her I felt really sorry for her. And I said, look, you know, the one good thing we do is we're proud enough and we're certain enough of ourselves that we actually offer money-back guarantee. So if you think this is not for you, send it back. I wish you well. Enjoy your years in pain. I hope that you'll find some other way to deal with it. I already know that I have helped thousands of people. Just because you are going to have a failure does not mean that my process doesn't work. That only means that you will have failed.
Right.
So that's me internally referencing here. Because I have so much evidence that I do not need even a negative experience to knock me off of knowing that this works. Because I know why it works. You know, this is no cargo cult. I actually know why and how it works. So I don't have to rely on some kind of if you hold your legs crossed this way and drink it, then it'll work for you. No, it's not like that. Anyway, so this repeats itself frequently enough. Somebody buys something from us and then goes to another party, practitioner, somebody, for another opinion. And
right. That would seem to me to be a rather normal activity that most of us do, right?
Right. So when they end up going to somebody like a medical doctor for an opinion, the doctor already believes that the sun revolves around the earth and poisons can heal you. So what's he going to say other than, well, this other stuff is total nonsense. It cannot do anything for you. We already know that nutrition has nothing to do with the state of your health.
Right.
And so if you fall under the spell of the stethoscope and the blood pressure cuff, you're done. And I've had that happen, you know. So I say to people, well, why don't you learn a truth technique? Why don't you learn dowsing or muscle testing, a method that will 100% know that something is true or false? Don't believe me. Go to the bookstore, get a book by David Hawkins, Power versus Force, and read it and learn the kinesiology from it and learn how you properly formulate the question and learn how to get the answer. And then get the answer. And if you formulate it as product X is appropriate for me to take right now at, I don't know, 3 pills a day, and if you get true on that, then it's true. If you get false on that, you may want to check either the dosage or the appropriateness itself. And if it's not appropriate for you, it'll tell you. Done. There's no arguing with truth, is there?
No, that's right.
There's only one truth. Either it's on or off. No gray middle.
Right.
And that's what works really well for me, you know, being internally referencing person. I like to know. I like to be able to say, well, from a perspective greater than mine, this statement is true. Period. So I'm a great advocate of studying kinesiology and using it.
So what exactly is kinesiology, Martin?
Well, okay, the broader name, kinesiology, deals with anything of motion. You know, like you can study kinesiology and you will learn how the body moves, mechanics, and that sort of stuff. So that's not what I'm after. There's this thing called the applied kinesiology where we can actually learn about how the muscles function or how the body mechanics function. And it's an incorrect use of the word. It's just that we can test a strength of any muscle, whether it's the muscle that holds your little finger against your thumb or the strength of your deltoid, which would be tested if you put your arm out straight out to the side and have somebody push down on your wrist. Or we can test the strength of your adductors by having you lie down and put your leg up in my hand, and I will push either towards the inside or to the outside and ask you to push against them. You know, I can test any muscle on your body by asking you to apply pressure against resistance. And you can actually test it for yourself if you have a dynamic device, dynamometer, that allows you to measure the strength at which you are able to resist.
But oftentimes, if you just like put your forefinger and your thumb together and you think, say, loving thoughts, you'll notice how hard it is to move them apart. And then when you think fearful or hateful thoughts, you'll notice all of a sudden it becomes a lot weaker.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives you an indication, which I guess then you could say, okay, you know, this vitamin C is good for me, oh, I'm stronger. This vitamin C is bad for me because, oh, I'm weaker.
Exactly that. That's precisely how it works.
So you're actually talking about something very radical and probably sacrilegious to the medical establishment, in that our bodies have this innate intelligence and they can tell what's good for us and what's bad for us.
Oh, I'm not just the medical establishment. The establishment, period. How about making a statement such as the speech that I have just heard is 100% truthful? Or the speaker is making a promise that he intends to keep.
Mm.
Or the defendant is guilty as charged. I don't need a jury. I just need a dozen of people who will stand there and test their muscle strength on that. I don't need no DNA. I just need a statistically significant sample of people who will test the answer. There's always some margin of error, but you know, we can head into the statistics and get it.
Right.
Cool. I mean, we could dramatically change the entire society if we were only willing to accept what Dr. David Hawkins, PhD, blah, 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 title, wrote in his book and documented and tested and shown and recommended that we adopt. But it's too inconvenient because people in power don't really wants to have their intentions or knowledge tested. Because most, and that's where the power, that's where the title came from, power versus force. Most systems use force to enforce themselves upon you. But the true power comes from within, from the higher, outer, above you, beyond you, consciousness that exists all around us. Some people call it God or whatever. So, Scott, it is wise for Scott to take a hot bath today.
It is wise for Scott to take a hot bath today. Okay.
What did you get?
Oh.
Strong?
Wise. So here I'm doing. I'm putting my finger and my thumb together on my right hand. I'm putting my left forefinger between or in the hole.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm pulling out and I'm saying it is wise. Oh, I'm going to stand up too. It is wise for Scott to take a hot bath today. I can't get my finger out.
At all.
It's holding very strong.
That's right. I got the same result. I just didn't want to come out and influence you first.
Okay, so what if I said it is unwise for Scott to take a hot bath today?
It should break like there was no resistance.
It is unwise to... I didn't even get through the sentence.
Yeah.
It is unwise for Scott to take a hot bath today. Okay, just a sec. It's wise for Scott to take a... It's totally different.
Yeah, of course. I mean, one's truth, the other one's falsehood. There's nothing in between. So I go to the restaurant and I point my finger at the menu and I run it down. You know, like I point one of my fingers at the menu and I'm holding the rest of my appendages in a way that allows me to test the strength of the connection. And I point at those menu items. Good for me, good for me, good for me, good for me. Oh, okay. There, that one.
Now, the problem with that, Martin, is it's probably going to be telling me to eat the meal I don't want to eat as opposed to the nice, juicy...
the donut. The donut that took you out of your health, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
It'll be salad. It's not going to be donut. And that's the problem with this whole thing, you see?
Yeah. Living from a principle-centered consciousness is a very different lifestyle than from indulgent, I don't know what else to call it, destructive kind of perspective.
Yeah.
You know, the brighter the light, the darker the shadow.
The brighter the light, the darker the shadow.
So that means that if we stand in a very in the presence of an enlightened person or perspective, all of our failings appear much more obvious.
Yeah.
You know, when you shine higher consciousness on anything, wherever it's not perfect, it becomes much more obvious. The contrast goes up. Anyway, where am I heading with this? I highly recommend to all the listeners to avail themselves of one or other truth technique, something, whether it's muscle tests, or some people use a pendulum, you know, like a device that will swing just to amplify the movement, or any one of those. I mean, some people will just close their eyes and feel themselves fall forward or fall backward. I've seen that. Anyway.
And I think the biggest thing here is getting to a point of trusting our own bodies, because we have really spent our whole lives being
told
not to.
Yes, we have been told by those in authority, especially those who possess false authority, but who use force rather than true power to subjugate, to control, to influence, and to, what's the word, exploit. And true liberation lies in taking your own control in your own hands and knowing that you are fully responsible for your outcomes. There's no such thing as a victim. You know, whatever you've done, you have allowed to happen.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for people that have been a victim of a criminal behavior, you know. Like, it's really nasty when you find yourself robbed or raped or otherwise violated. And I don't know how to best frame it, that not to make that person feel bad about themselves. I guess the only thing that's left is to say, well, I learned from this and I move on.
Right. And that's all you can really do, right?
Yeah. I don't know why it is that somebody, you know, it happens to women more than men, but why somebody gets raped. You know, why is that? I don't know how a wolf will choose the sheep that's going to get its throat slashed today when it comes to the flock, or I don't know how a shark decides which of the, I don't know, fish is going to get taken today. But something happens. Anyway.
They just tune in, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get into a philosophical debate on why it is that a 3-year-old child gets leukemia and how it is that he caused it on himself. I don't know that he did. You know, we might end up getting into karma or who knows what else.
It's a hard question.
Oh, you know. If you're bored, pick up Dostoevsky and read Crime and Punishment. Or other Dostoevsky's books. He did a real good job of trying to figure out the meaning of why bad things happen to good people.
Right.
But anyway, I don't want to go there. I want to simply focus on the fact that, yes, we have an enormous amount of control over what we do and how we do it, and that we do not need to have external authority tell us what's right for us. I really enjoy being in a conversation with a client that calls in and says, oh, I have such and such situation, what do you think I could do? And you know, we explore the options. And then I say, well, you decide what's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the conversation, which is, tell me what to do and I'll do it. I absolutely do not like to be in that position. It just makes me feel, creepy.
Yeah.
I guess I'm reminded of just recently. Do we have a bit of time still?
A few more minutes before we're done.
Okay.
So time for another good story.
Oh, yeah. This is a sidebar that will amuse most. I was talking to my mother, an 87-year-old lady living in the Czech Republic. She's a survivor of the Holocaust. She was through the concentration camps and all of that. And she came back. She came through it. You know, the bizarre thing, out of her extended family of 55 people, only 2 came back. So there's something special about that lady, you know. And
that is.
Anyway, so just not long ago, you know, within the last 2 or 3 years, a student contacted her and said, I'm tasked to write a report, and my prof asked me to see if I could find some people who have actually been there. And this was like a 17-year-old guy. He was writing about one particular small town in Moravia, where my mom came from, and he was writing about the history of the Jewish community. And he was writing a story of the initial settlement in the 1400s and all the different details, the beginning and the rise, and how they built their little part of the town, and they created something, not a ghetto, but, you know, sort of like we have Chinatowns and whatever towns. Well, they had the Jewish town, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so there was the beginning and the rise, and then the end. Because in 1945, out of, I don't know how many, hundreds, thousands, only a handful came back. So it was like the end, finished. So he was writing a report about that, and he found a whole bunch of archival photographs, and then he found my mom, and so he went over for a visit, and she helped him identify people in the photographs, you know, photographs from the 1937, 39, 41, something like that. And, oh, and she's remembering, oh, yeah, this person, I remember what happened to her, and this person, I remember, and so on, right?
Well, yeah.
Anyway, so then she got invited to give a speech. This particular prof said, yeah, this is going really well. Let's have you come and talk to the high school. She said, okay, I'll do that. So one day they picked her up, took her there, and for 1.5 hours she talked to the auditorium, the whole high school. And at the end, she says, okay, any questions? And one kid put her hand up and said, did you ever meet Dr. Mengele? And Dr. Mengele is known as Dr. Death. And she says, yes, I have had the honor of meeting this fine gentleman. I stood naked in front of him and jumped over his stick. This was the guy who stood on the platform in Auschwitz at the sorting as the people were getting off the train. He had them strip naked and jump. If they could jump high enough, they went to the left. If they couldn't, they went to the right.
She jumped high enough.
She jumped high enough.
Wow.
So anyway, that's what reminds me. Yes, I met the guy. I know him. Now, whenever I think of people telling me that they want me to make their choices for them, somehow this comes into my mind, and I don't like making choices for people. Well, just not a good place for me to be in a position of power. I'm not saying that it's life or death, as Mengele chose to do it, but I just don't want to make other people's choices. It's their life.
Right.
I'm there to advise, I'm there to educate, I'm there to support, and to explain. And I don't want to prescribe, and I don't want to, what's the word, diagnose, and I don't want to be authoritative about any one thing. Because the only authority is the person himself or herself.
Wonderful. And I think that is a very authoritative place to end today's episode, today's show. Martin, thank you very much for sharing that story. I think that's just absolutely amazing. And
It's a special thing. Anyway.
So if somebody wanted to learn more about what they can do to take control of their health, take responsibility for their health, and maybe get some advice, but not...
not prescription.
not prescription. What should they do?
They should come to www.life-enthusiast.com, and if they don't find the page that they need to find, then call 1-866-543-3388. This is Life Enthusiast, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you for listening.